I think for us, it's about, yeah, understanding what our presence there means and then using that to create like a positive, lasting change for, you know, for, amongst workers' rights and human rights within the country.
Willkommen zu Football for Future, dem WM-Special. Es ist also tatsächlich passiert. Die Weltmeisterschaft in Katar 2022 ist angepfiffen worden. Darüber wollen wir reden. Heute mit einem ganz besonderen Gast, Jackson Irvine. Er ist nicht nur Kapitän des FC St. Pauli, sondern auch aktuell in Katar mit der australischen Nationalmannschaft und bereitet sich dort auf das Turnier vor. Ich wollte von ihm wissen, was es mit ihm macht, dass die ganze Welt plötzlich von Dingen spricht, die nichts mit Fußball zu tun haben. Ist es jemals für ihn in Frage gekommen, die Weltmeisterschaft zu boykottieren, oder ist es schlicht unfair, dies von Spielern zu verlangen? Was kann man als Fußballer tun? Wie kann man Aufmerksamkeit generieren für die wichtigen Themen rund um diese Weltmeisterschaft? Korruption, Menschenrechte, was können Fußballer ausrichten, um positive Veränderungen herbeizuführen? Das sind Fragen und noch viele mehr, denen ich nachgegangen bin im Gespräch mit Jackson, geführt auf dem Rasen des heiligen Millantor-Stadions. Also, viel Spaß, Jackson Irvine bei Football for Future, dem WN-Special. Und jetzt geht's los. Jackson, nice to meet you.
You too, mate.
Maybe you explain a little bit, who are you and what's going on? What's your connection to the World Cup?
So, I'm a player here at SC St. Pauli and fortunate enough to be involved with the Australian national team. And yeah, we have, in June, we qualified for the upcoming tournament in Qatar. And yeah, that's been obviously a subject of a lot of controversy. And for us as Australians, you know, playing in Asia, we've played a lot of football in Qatar. And, you know, we're going to be have a direct presence there during the World Cup.
How many World Cups did you play before?
Just the one. I played in Russia 4 years ago. And yeah, this will be very luckily for me, hopefully a chance to go to my second major tournament.
Obviously, there's a lot of controversy around the World Cup. Many people are talking about boycott Qatar. Mm-hmm. They don't want to watch the games. They don't want to travel there. How do you look at the subject? Did you ever think about not going to Qatar?
I don't think that's ever been realistically in the minds of any of the players or people involved, you know, directly with the tournament. I think for all of us, the first thing was about having an education and understanding of the situation that is going on. And then seeing how we can directly influence that and make a positive impact with our presence there. Because at the end of the day, obviously, players, you know, don't have any say in these matters. And for us, you know, the opportunity to play at this level, you know, in the pinnacle of our sport, really, you know, for us, it's about trying to create positive, lasting change rather than, you know, having no presence there at all, which I actually think would be, you know, worse, especially at this point within the conversation. I think if any of those conversations were going to take place, it had to be in the very beginning when, you know, it was first awarded.
So you're saying is maybe it's even better to go there to talk about the issues, to raise awareness and change something for good like that?
From a player's perspective, of 100%, I think that is the way forward. I think for us, and as I say, having a direct presence and being in the country, I think for us it's about, yeah, understanding what our presence there means and then using that to create like a positive, lasting change for, you know, for, amongst workers' rights and human rights within the country.
There are so many levels, political levels, commercial levels. Mm-hmm. It goes back to 2010, you know, FIFA way and all of that. Is it not a little bit unfair to now put the responsibility on the players to kind of deal with that situation?
I don't think it's necessarily unfair. It's obviously difficult for the players when, as I say, these circumstances are out with your control. But for us, yeah, it's just about, as I said, I think the first thing was first was having an understanding and really knowing why it's important that these issues are going to be, because every player, I'm sure, in the next few months will have this same conversation and be asked about these things. And, you know, for us as Australians, first thing was first is looking at our direct impact and understanding what that means for us. And I don't think it's unfair, but it's something that we have to take a small part of responsibility for and maybe, as you say, try and do some good with that.
You were playing in Qatar many times. What was your impression about the country? What did you personally experience? How do you look at the country?
Yeah, of course. We've spent a lot of time there during COVID. Australia was locked down, so we played a lot of our home games through the Asian Confederation in Doha. So, you know, we have played in the stadiums and, you know, stayed in the facilities and Everything is, of course, state of the art, elite facilities. And, you know, I don't think that's ever been in question that that was going to be the way that that side of it was going to be run. You know, but for us, of course, it's when you have a presence in Qatar, it's not just the football stadiums and at the football grounds. You know, as soon as you step off the plane, you're working with airport staff, transportation people, people who work in the hotels and facilities and everything. So for us, knowing that your presence there is more than just coming to a football stadium and playing, you know, it's about looking at that whole picture. And for us, it was important that we spoke with our federation and made sure that looking at our direct influence and having a smaller impact and making sure that everything that we'd done was done in the most correct way. So, you know, that's been important for us as a group of players in Australia.
What would be maybe the critique or the things maybe you don't like about Qatar, or where you would say this is actually not something I want to see?
Well, listen, a lot of the human rights records have been well documented now. And, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, it's all out there for the world to see that there are a lot of issues. And, you know, in particular, you know, for fans coming in of the LGBTQI plus community, I know there are concerns in that space, as well as obviously the direct, the human rights record towards the workers. So for us, you know, all of these issues are important. There is no one issue that is more important than anything else. But, you know, as long as we understand that, you know, we can talk about these openly and as you say, try and make a positive change about it, then that's all, you know, we really have the power to do.
How does it actually feel to play in a cooled down stadium?
It's bizarre. It's really, really strange. You know, you step off the bus in, you know, obviously in November will not be so bad, but in June when it's 50 degrees and you get off the bus and then you walk through the tunnel and come out to the pitch and it's like walking into a hotel room of 18 degrees. It's really, really strange. But as I say, you know, the level of facilities and that you're going to be working in was never in doubt that it was going to be. Obviously, when there's no, you know, no expense spared, you knew it was going to be elite at that stage.
Did you ever get negative feedback from somebody saying, "Hey, why are you doing this? You should stay at home," stuff like that? Ever has somebody approached you?
To a certain extent, I think people ask, and they're within their rights to ask these questions of you. But I think most people, recognize from a player's perspective, the opportunity that comes with the chance to play at a World Cup, and can totally understand why. You know, I'm sure most of the players are in the same situation where you maybe have, you know, issues and, you know, mixed feelings about certain attitudes towards it. But at the end of the day, you know, this is the pinnacle of your sport, what you work your whole life and dream about, playing at this level. And so few people have the opportunity to do that. And as you say, all you can do is then maneuver that into trying to turn it into something positive. But I haven't had too many negative, really, conversations in that space. It's more, which is better for me, more constructive, and people asking, like, How will it work for you, and what can you do about it, rather than, you know, attacking you for choosing to participate?
You are perceived as a conscious player, a player who is interested in values and all of that. You're playing for FC St. Pauli. What do you think is the role of football in society towards values, human rights and all that?
I think more and more than ever, I think football and people in the public eye have more of a responsibility to take a more of a role at the forefront of these conversations when, you know, in the age of social media and these kinds of influence, that you can really share these messages of positivity and the kind of values that we want to spread as people in sport, especially around inclusivity and these kinds of issues. And, you know, for me, I'm very lucky to be in a space at a club where, you know, we live and breathe those values, and it gives me more of a platform to be open and speak about these things, knowing that, you know, you have the full backing and of a community and of a, you know, not just a football club, but of a whole community. So, you know, I recognize for some players that's more difficult, you know, especially if you're maybe not as confident and don't have that kind of backing behind you. So I do think it's important, but I also recognize that, you know, for myself, with my age and experience and where I am in my career, it's easier to be open on these things, you know, compared to what some other players have.
I mean, I know a little bit the football scene, and I know that sometimes you also easily get the perception from other people that you are like a parrot, you know, like a little bit a strange guy who is interested in these kind of things because mm-hmm. not so many players sometimes maybe are in that field. How do mm-hmm. you look at players and the consciousness from players around these issues in general?
Yeah, I think it's great to be able to be a part of these conversations and then maybe carry them back into the football community as well and show, and especially for younger guys, to say that, you know, it's okay. You want to have a voice about this. This is not a direct influence on football, what happens on the pitch. This is totally out with that. So for me, that's something I've always tried to do. And that's not just with speaking politically or socially. That's maybe to do with fashion or to do with music. And, you know, sometimes it's not just in football. It's in lots of communities. You can find yourself in a bubble of where everybody likes and gets drawn towards the same thing. But I've always tried to, you know, stay true to kind of my interests and who I am as a person. And, you know, I think, you know, I played with some guys when I was younger who kind of were great with me in that way and helping me kind of push away from that. So, you know, that's what you want to try and do, is just show guys that you can be free to be kind of your own person and be comfortable with that and within a football environment.
I mean, here you get celebrated for it. Did you ever get like a strange feedback from coaches, teams and all of that, saying, listen,
cut your hair.
Don't focus on,
cut your hair, what you're doing listening to that, why are you at a concert two nights before a game, you know, this is natural, this is, you know, but I feel like football is progressing away from these kinds of attitudes, which is great. But as you say, I think in this community, it's more than embraced, it's encouraged. And, you know, I'm very glad to have found my way to a place where that's the case.
So a bit of a creative challenge for you. If you think about the future, what would be the positive utopia of the perfect World Cup in the future, 2050?
That is an interesting question. I think either one in Australia, that would be a great start. Or what about a World Cup final at the Milan Tour? And I don't know, we can have like the Strokes play the opening credits or something like that. That would be a good start.
So St. Pauli in Australia with the Strokes playing.
Yeah,
100%. That sounds utopian.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why not?
Sounds pretty good. And
you being a coach, being a coach of the Australian national team, or rather not?
In the final, that would be the way to go.
You're just flying in for the final. And
yeah,
that's
too
it.
Easy. Yeah, exactly.
So last question. It's a little bit awkward question for you, but we ask it to everybody. Are you watching games of the World Cup in Qatar this year?
I watch as much football as I can possibly see. So, I think it's safe to say I'll be tuning in to a lot of the games with a keen eye. And it definitely will be.
Good luck, Jackson, in Qatar. And I wish you all the best for the games.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you for the talk.
Und das war's wieder. Football for Future heute mit Jackson Irvine. Sehr spannende Perspektive, auch mal aus Spielersicht nachzuvollziehen, was es bedeutet, eben nicht zu boykottieren, sondern tatsächlich mitzugestalten und alles zu geben für sein Land, in dem Fall Australien. Dankeschön an alle, die das möglich gemacht haben. Natürlich an ProSieben für die freundliche Genehmigung, denn auch Jackson war Teil der Doku, die am 7.11. ausgestrahlt worden ist auf ProSieben, das Milliardenspiel. Und heute durften wir das Interview in voller Länge ausstrahlen. Vielen Dank auch an alle andere, die das möglich gemacht haben. Natürlich Maniac Studios, die Umweltbank und Claro, Viva con Aqua. Danke in allererster Linie aber auch an euch, die ihr hier zugehört habt. Und wenn ihr Bock habt, dann einfach diesen Kanal hier abonnieren. Ab sofort gibt's jeden Montag WM-Special. Nächste Woche dann Amnesty International. Das wird dann auch wieder richtig spannend, weil da gibt's auf jeden Fall ein paar Fakten rund um die Menschenrechtslage in Katar. Bleibt also mit dabei. Nächste Woche geht's wieder ab. Bis dahin viel Spaß beim WM-Gucken oder beim WM-Boykottieren. Peace.
Football for Future ist eine Produktion von Viva con Aqua mit freundlicher Unterstützung von der Umweltbank und Maniac Studios.